Welcome to the Holy Shit Podcast. Frank and Patsy get together to discuss the issues of the moment. You know, the things that make you say, holy shit. Here are your hosts, Master Hapkidoist, Patsy Zarilla, and Attorney Frank Natel, Esquire.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Holy Shit, Season 2, Episode 12, for today, March 25th. I'm your co-host, Patsy Zarilla.
And I'm co-host Frank Natel.
And Frank, before we get into the this week's news, well, not even this week's news, more like the last 18 hours worth of news, the way things are going, we should probably let everybody know that we have officially renamed the pod. So this is the last time you're going to hear the Holy Shit Podcast. We're going to have rename it to the Frank and Patsy Podcast. We'll probably cut it short and say the Frank and Patsy Pod, but everybody understands what it means. It's going to be at the same places. This, you know, the wherever you get your podcast, it's all going to be in the same place. I don't know if you can aggregate it without having to search for it again, or if it's just going to pick right up where this one left off. So I don't know if you have to actually look for it or if it just happens automatically. We'll figure that one out probably next week, but that's where we're headed. You and I talked about it for a while, and we seem to be happy with the name change. And you know, we're just going to, so everybody be aware of the change. The Frank and Patsy Pod, everywhere you get your podcasts.
I like it. I like it a lot. And you know, it's an evolution of what we've. It's an evolution of what we've done. You know, we're past the. I think we're past the moments of. You know, there's still going to be those holy shit moments. But like you said, I think when we talked about this, it's two guys talking about things that are going on in the world and in our worlds and in the world at large. And we're those two guys. So it's a great name.
Eventually, you know, this nightmare of a Trump presidency is going to be over, and we'll be able to start expanding what we talk about in different subjects and whatever. And it's not that we can't do that now. It's just that this just is such a drain on our news and with our time constraints that if we don't start talking about these topics, you know, we have a choice. We can either ignore them, we can go over them very lightly, and that's kind of half-assed, or we can do what we're doing now, which is actually discuss them. And so, you know, we chose to actually discuss them. And, I think that was the right choice, but eventually, you know, this, we are going to expand this, like I said, this nightmare isn't going to last forever.
It's not, thank God. But, you know, there are steps being taken right now, and have been taken, over the last course of 3 weeks, very significantly by our governmental, entities and leaders in Washington, D.C. to try to aid us in getting over an immediate nightmare that we're dealing with. And that is the stimulus bills that have been passed back and forth between the House of Representatives and the Senate. And just about, I mean, a little less than 3 weeks ago, the House passed an initial bill that, among many other things, afforded extended family medical leave time for people who were dealing with COVID-19. And, you know, I think people forget, or it wasn't really announced very clearly, or it wasn't really publicized very well, but that was a bill that was really hammered out by both Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat, and Steve Mnuchin, who is the United States Secretary of Treasury, who was Donald Trump's proxy in that process. He basically, you know, worked with Nancy Pelosi that they could come up with something that would pass, they felt, both the House and the Senate, because it had bipartisan input from two leaders that are looked at by both parties as having a strong sense of what needs to be done. And I think it's real important that people remember that. I haven't seen much on Twitter, on the news, or anything about the fact that there was a bill that was passed almost 3 weeks ago now that, among other things, addressed family medical leave. which was a big piece. And it showed bipartisan work. And Trump was behind it. And he said, when I say behind it, I mean he put his stamp of approval on it when Mnuchin brought it back to him and said, this is what we've worked out. And even Donald Trump said, you know, they worked very hard on this. And he congratulated Nancy Pelosi and Mnuchin for coming up with this. And if you remember, Mitch McConnell delayed even the passage of that bill because he was on his little jaunt back to Kentucky, where he flew there with Beer Boy on the Supreme Court. You know, the frat Beer Boy.
Kavanaugh.
Yeah. So he had to take his extra little party time, and then he got back to D.C. and he finally got around to passing that, you know, through the Senate. So now we're on to the round two. And round two of the stimulus package is this new one that's anywhere between $1.5 and $2 trillion. Yes, $2 trillion. Okay. We're talking significant, probably magnitude of money that has not been pumped into the economy by the government except in wartime. If you're looking at it in today's dollars versus those dollars back in World War II, we're approaching wartime funding. Okay. This is big. It's an important piece of legislation. You're not going to throw around $2 trillion willy-nilly. So it became clear, I think it was over the weekend, that the Senate really wanted this passed via Mitch McConnell. And there was a very, very large portion of what then was $1.5 trillion, so about one-third of this funding, was earmarked for a $500 billion. That's one half of a trillion, one third of this total funding allocated, $500 billion fund that would be earmarked for businesses. What businesses? That wasn't defined by the bill. Who would control it? Steve Mnuchin and Trump. When would the public get to know where it was sent? 6 months after the money was sent out. So the Democrats said, whoa. Hey, hold up a minute. We want this money to go out to hospitals. We want it to go out to people. And yes, businesses too, but there has to be some accountability. And there has to be some, you know, you can't just earmark half of a trillion dollars into a fund that somebody's going to allocate to businesses that are not assigned or notified who they're going to be. And it won't be told to the public until 6 months after. Well, after that was held up by the Democrats, there was a trend on Twitter, Democrats hate America, because they don't want this funding bill to come out. And they're not bipartisan. They're just blaming the Republicans, blah, 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 blah. And the sheep, the sheep that watch Fox News bought that trend hook, line, and sinker. And Patsy, I don't know if you saw anything about that or if you were hearing this kind of rumbling, you know, on the sites that you follow or the people that you work with. What was your impression of all that?
Well, yeah, I first of all, I'm not on Facebook, thank God. Smartest thing I ever did was get off of that. I am on Twitter, and you know what a cesspool that is. But you know, it's you expect it to be a cesspool, so it's not bad. And you know, I am also on Instagram. But my Instagram account is just sort of a happy-go-lucky, have fun and follow every soccer player on the planet type thing. So I didn't see a whole lot in social media about that. There was Democrats Hate America or some shit like that trending on Twitter for, oh, maybe a half a day or a day or so. And my coworkers really, you know, I don't understand, because I work with some very educated people. You know, you can't be in an engineering environment without being around educated people. And the fact that they're willing to not only take it seriously, which they obviously do, but some of them start repeating these things, it absolutely boggles my mind. I told my wife earlier before you and I started the pod, when her and I were sitting in the living room earlier today, and I said, you know, honey, I never realized until this whole pandemic started and everything around it, I said, you know, I never realized just how stupid people are. You know, and my father always used to say, my father, I think, had a 7th or 8th grade education tops. And my he always used to say, you know, don't, and I always thought he was making excuses. And he would say, you know, he'd say, Pushwell, don't ever confuse educated with smart, because there's a big difference. And like I said, this was coming from somebody who had a, you know, junior high education at best. And you know, I'm a kid and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, you know, of course you're making excuses. And it's funny how our parents get smarter as we get older. But he was right. You know, big difference between educated and smart. And that really, really was a surprise to me to hear people regurgitating it. And they weren't even talking about it like, hey, did you hear what these folks are saying on Fox? This is just sort of a in passing type thing, right? You know, sort of a passive aggressive type thing. They're actually quoting it. You know, they're actually quoting their mouthpieces, and I'm thinking, you got to be out of your mind. I cannot believe how are you people able to function? You know, it just killed me. But yeah, it's ridiculous. To me, Frank, it all goes back to that same thing that, you know, you and I have talked about for the longest time, that Master Grant and I have talked about, that the three of us has talked about. The Democrats' total and complete inability to message against the Republicans' second nature to message. I mean, they get to the point where they don't even have to put much forth of an effort anymore. They say a message, they say it one time, it goes out like crazy, and it's all repeated. It's absolutely phenomenal what they can accomplish, and what a big problem it is for Democrats to, in this case, just tell the truth. They can't even get that out. It's absolutely staggering.
It is. And so for all of the, I hate to use the term discord, because it's something that we use as our an app that we use to talk about.
It's a form of communication for us. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But all of the acrimony that and anger that has been vented at everybody about this stimulus bill, this most recent one, early this morning, Senators McConnell and Schumer announced they had reached a deal on the $2 trillion stimulus deal. So, you know it's going to get done. You know they're going to get money out. It's all just posturing and propaganda to say we care about you more than they do. You know, but realistically, you know it's going to get done. It's a matter of who's going to be guarding the hen house. You know, when all this money's coming out, they got these golden eggs out there. There's some people who want to pilfer those golden eggs and really want to take a lot of them for themselves and hoard them. And then there's other folks who are like, wait a minute, the workers and the everyday people are the ones that are suffering the most, and we need to make sure that they get their share. So, you know, in an unfiltered moment, and I don't give the guy credit much, I don't, but in an unfiltered moment, late on the weekend, Saturday night, I think it was Saturday night or Sunday morning, when there was a lot of frustration going around this bill, Trump actually said, yeah, I may be a Republican, but I don't like this whole idea of all this money going to corporations and none of it going to the American workers. And I don't like the idea of all this money going to corporations who are going to just do stock buybacks. There has to be something protecting against that. And I think they got to him a little later, meaning the Republican Party and the mouthpieces in the party said, whoa, shh, be quiet. Because, you know, we'll make the other side look bad if we hold out long enough. So, but it was an unfiltered moment. And I thought, wow, he does shoot from the hip. He's hard to control. And he actually said something that hurt the Republican Party a little bit in that moment. So it wasn't widely reported and it wasn't widely disseminated because, of course, they tamped it down quickly, but it was one of those moments where you say, you know, they love this guy because he's unfiltered and he goes from the hip and he doesn't go by the script. And guess what? Every once in a while, he's going to burn you too, buddy.
The some of the provisions to that one that was passed, or that was agreed to. $500 billion go to big businesses. It can be used to buy back loans and assistance to companies, including $50 billion for loans to U.S. airlines as well as state and local governments. $350 billion to aid small businesses. $150 billion boost for hospitals and other healthcare providers for equipment and supplies. Direct payments to lower and middle income Americans of $1,200 for each adult, as well as $500 for each child. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the checks should be cut April 6th. Unemployment insurance extended by 4 months, bolstered by $600 weekly. Eligibility would expand to cover more workers. So my guess, if I'm reading that right, you get your normal unemployment benefit plus an extra $600, if I'm understanding that correctly. Restrictions on business aid. And this goes back to what you were saying. Any company receiving a government loan would be subject to a ban on stock buybacks throughout the term of the loan plus one additional year. That was important. They would also have to limit executive bonuses and take steps to protect workers. The Treasury Department would have to disclose the terms of loans and other aid to companies. A new Treasury Inspector General would oversee the lending program, and Democrats won language that would bar any businesses owned by Donald Trump or his family from getting loans from the Treasury. Businesses owned by members of Congress, heads of executive departments, and Vice President Mike Pence would also be blocked. So Democrats did a pretty good job.
Absolutely. You know, and the money comes out to the people that need it and the businesses that need it. I will say it's a little disappointing that only $150 billion go to hospitals and hospital services.
Yeah, I thought that was.
Yeah, that seems a little low.
That seems a bit low.
Yeah.
Yeah, considering how hard they're going to get hit. Because don't forget, we haven't hit the top of this bell curve yet. We're still climbing. Right? So they're gonna be, I tell you what, I would hate to be running a hospital in New York right now. I promise you, whoever's running, pick a hospital, any hospital there, especially in New York City, I promise you, they're not getting much sleep right now because they're overrun. They're totally overrun. So that sounded like,
go ahead.
That sounded like a whole bunch of good news, didn't it?
It did. I mean, I'll tell you that the good news is the money's going to come out, you know, and the money's going to, there's some money that's going to go to the American workers. There's some money that's going to go to hospital. There's some money that's going to go. Look, I'm not anti-business because businesses can, if the right checks are in place, which it sounds like there's some checks. I don't know if there's enough checks, but there's some checks on how this money will be spent by businesses. Hopefully it truly does help the American workers because it goes into some businesses' hands too. And I do believe that we have to keep some of these businesses afloat because they will help us all when we all get back to normal again. But, you know, these businesses, a lot of these businesses had, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of tax breaks over the last decades. They should have been, you know, conserving some of their money, holding some of their money in place. They have an obligation to their shareholders to keep cash on hand. And here we are, you know, we're bailing them out, but we're really still not bailing out the people that need it the most. I still say overall, it's good news that compromise occurred. It's good news that money's coming out.
Well, being the martial artist that I am, allow me to give you a kick in the nuts.
All right.
At 3:26 this morning or this afternoon, a little before we started recording. Headline. Coronavirus bill held up by GOP to punish minimum wage workers. McConnell plans a month-long recess. Okay? So, four of these assholes, Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott, Ben Sasse, and Rick Scott, are holding up the relief bill because they think people who are being paid minimum wage will think unemployment insurance bump, this is such a sweet deal that it'll make them not want to go to work. How about that?
Good God.
How about
good
that? God. Meanwhile, good McConnell's point. Already plotting his getaway, wanting to have the Senate go on recess as soon as the bill is passed for nearly a month. He wants to go on recess until April 20th. Okay? Even though it's unclear at this time if the House will be able to pass the bill as is, because there's so much it doesn't do, like expand food stamps. But as of now, McConnell just wants to pass this, dump it on the House, and walk away. That's assuming those four other assholes get on board, because this is, what is it, not unanimous consent. What's the thing in the House or in the Senate?
I think they have to have, what, cloture or something, 60 votes or something? I don't know.
Unanimous consent. They need all the votes. They need them all.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so remember the other one, that last one, or was it the first one that you rattled off? I can't remember. It was that asshole, what's his name, held it up? Paul, the one that's quarantined himself now. The asshole doctor who didn't fucking know any better. He held up the first one. And then, you know, they went through the second one. Well, he couldn't do shit for that one because, well, he's quarantined. And enough of the other Republicans were quarantined that they couldn't get it passed because the Democrats didn't have enough to hold it up. Now, this one had to go through unanimous consent, and you got four of these fucksticks that decided they're not going to vote for it. So we're all going to go back to square one. How's that?
That's terrible, and I hope that they will get past their posturing. Again, we're back to a posturing thing again, and that they will get this out for the good of the American people. But clearly, again, messaging that you talked about earlier, messaging needs to be clear, because if you're going to posture and you're going to use propaganda, then those that are holding this up at this point, those four need to be, it needs to be widely disseminated amongst all media, social media, and every other source out there that these are the four that are holding this up.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the part that kills me, because I'll be honest, Frank, I would be shocked if we're actually going to see that messaging. You know, I feel bad about it, but I don't think you're going to. I really don't.
Let's hope. Part of it is, you know, I know we have a limited reach here, but we're talking about it. You've got McConnell. Well, you've got Ben Sasse. You've got who are the other three that you mentioned?
Lindsey Graham, Ben Sasse, Tim Scott, and Rick Scott.
Okay, so those four, and you know, we need to put it up. We need to put it up on our Twitter account and anything else that we have. But you know, people that listen to this, they need to tell their friends. They need to remind people. These are four people that are holding this $2 trillion stimulus package hostage right now. So. You know, if we have any listeners in Florida, that's where Scott, one of Scott's territories, the other Scott is from where? Massachusetts or, and then you've got, Sasse, who's from Nebraska, and Lindsey Graham, who's from South Carolina. So any listeners in those areas, you know, make sure your people know that those representatives from those states are the senators from those states are what's holding this up. Yeah, it's a limited reach, but maybe we could do have some impact with that. And as far as reach and impact, and you talked about New York City not too long ago, the impact of COVID is now being felt in rural areas. We're kind of suburbia / rural, urban in Lawrence County. Not much urban. There's you've got Newcastle, which is the remnants of a city that once was thriving, but still kind of has some suburban feel to the area. And then you've got a very rural area around outside of Newcastle throughout the rest of the county. And we have our first case of COVID-19 being reported as confirmed in Lawrence County. Anecdotally, you just recently, I mean, you and I know the area well, but just to relate to our listeners, you rode around Lawrence County recently with your son. Just relay that anecdote about kind of what you encountered as you're driving along and just took note of it.
Yeah, you know, people who listen to us, I very frequently talk about the area that I grow up in, or where I grew up, you know, where I live now. As I kind of refer to it as Mayberry, Okay. So anybody, you know, who's kind of our age or older, understand, you know, saw Andy Griffith, understands what I mean by Mayberry. This, where I live, is Mayberry. And my son and I went grocery shopping Saturday. And I'm pretty sure he just came with me just because he just had to get out of the house, you know, because of this pandemic that we're all living through. So he said, yeah, I'll come with you. So we went grocery shopping, and I decided to come home the back way just to change the scenery and whatnot. And, as I'm coming home, we kind of get off the main roads. We're going through the back roads, and I go past the house, and I must have gone for, I don't know, a third of a mile until I passed another house. And then probably another third of a mile before I passed the third house. And, you know, I never really paid much attention to it before. But it caught my attention. I'm like, and, you know, this is farmland out here. So there's fields in between houses, you know, who's planting corn or soy or whatever. And I sat here and I said, my God, I went a mile. I saw three houses. You know, you go a mile, go to Allegheny County, pick a suburb in Allegheny County, and any one. Go a mile, see how many houses you see. And that's Allegheny County. That's not even, you know, that's not even the most populated county in the state. You know, Philadelphia County is. But even in Allegheny, you go for a mile, how many houses are you going to see? How many people live in those houses? How many, you know, how much interaction do you see with these people? You come out here, you go to a house, you go a third of a mile, there's another house. How much interaction do you think is there? Not hardly any, right? So you're seeing, whenever you're out in these rural areas, the impact of this pandemic of being almost looked at as a nuisance than something that is legitimate and is serious and is an honest to God, you know, health risk, because it's not really affecting anybody out here. They just know that, oh, everybody's boarded up and all the houses are, you know, people can't go to work and, you know, so on and so forth and this, that, and the other thing. And it's pretty much if people are complaining, they feel the impact from arm's distance, right, from arm's length. So it there's a disconnect there. And I'm real curious, Frank, what's going to happen, because eventually it's going to make it out to Mayberry, right? No place is safe. Eventually, it's going to make it to the Mayberries of the world. It's going to make it to, you know, Idaho. It's going to, you know, to all these farmers and all these and everything. And one of the reasons, Frank, just to put it in perspective, one of the reasons that I'm still working, that the company that I work for hasn't been closed down, is because we are a supplier to John Deere and to Kubota and to, you know, Skyjack and these places that are relying on our equipment in order to build hospitals, to keep farmers going, to do all of these things. So we are essential. So this impact that you're going to see out here, Frank, it's going to be devastating whenever it finally gets out this way. It's going to be absolutely devastating. There's no immediate health providers out here. Okay? There isn't. If God forbid something happens in my household right now, we got to get somebody to a hospital. If I'm driving like a bat out of hell, I'm driving for 15 minutes. And then I'm going to, you know, Jameson Hospital. So we're going to roll the dice there. If I have to call an ambulance and they're driving like a bat out of hell, it's 15 minutes here, get somebody stabilized on the stretcher into the ambulance and then to the hospital. At best, at very best, that's 35 minutes. From the time the call is made to the time you're getting into the hospital. Frank, that's a disaster. That's an absolute disaster. And there's there's nothing, there's no way to fix that. The impact that's going to happen out here is going to be truly frightening. And people are not recognizing that it's not might happen. It's going to happen. There's no, well, you know, the hurricane didn't go through, you know, this part of the state. It never does. So we're fine. We don't have to evacuate whenever they call for the evacuation. You know, it's not that. It's not like that. People are going to die out here. And don't forget, this place is old. The community's old. There's not young people living out here. There's not young people, you know, doing things. These are middle-aged and older who are out here, who, Frank, they're in trouble. That's all I'm saying. They're in trouble.
And especially if, you know, even though it's rural and we see, you know, a distance between houses, there are still roughly about 100,000 people in Lawrence County. And if you break that down into areas, you've got about 20,000 in the city of Newcastle, okay? And then in Elwood City, you probably have about, what, 11,000, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I'd say it's a good guess.
Yeah. So then the remaining 70,000 people are in these rural areas of the county. So what if you start to get, you know, 10%, 5% of these people that get sick with this? And this is an elderly county, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
5% of the people of 70,000. That's a significant number. 10%, 7,000. You're talking 3,500 people. And if 3,500 people get sick all at once, Jameson Hospital and Elwood City Hospital are not going to be able to handle it.
Oh, there is no more Elwood City Hospital, Frank. Don't forget. Elwood City Hospital shut down.
Jameson Hospital is not going to be able to handle
it. That's it. There's only one. Yeah, that's what I mean. And the more we talk, the worse it gets.
Yeah. So, and ambulance services are not going to be able to transport, you know, hundreds of people per day to out of the county. So it's problematic. I'm not trying to make panic. I'm just trying to say, take it serious. Do the precautions that you're told. You know, don't buy into conspiracy theories. Look, if nothing happens, that's the goal. Nothing happens. That's the goal. That's what we want to see. Nothing happen. You know?
Right. Exactly. You want nothing to happen.
Right.
But Frank, let's be honest. It's going to. You know? It's coming. It's coming, and it's going to hit an area. And this is where it gets me. How many times have you heard me say that if Jesus Christ ran as a Democrat here, he would lose North Beaver Township, right? I've said it since I started living here. These are your typical, it all goes back to what we started our pod with today. These are people who pay $100 a month for cable just so they can watch Fox News. It's the only channel they watch. That's it. 240 channels on their local cable. They pay $100 a month just so they can watch Fox News. That's it. Nothing else is worth a shit to them. It's on 24/7 in their house. And what's Fox News telling people? It's a Democratic hoax, right? They're trying to another form of impeachment, right? They're trying to do everything they can to get Trump. I mean, you go to the end of my driveway, which is, you know, a quarter mile long. You look across the street, you see Trump flags. You look up the street, you see Trump flags. Of course, you see them with rebel flags too. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Do you think these people are taking this shit seriously?
No,
they're not. And what's going to happen whenever they get hit? What's going to happen then?
You know, it's the typical thing. They'll blame somebody else, or they'll finally say, "Oh man, I should have listened." and then it'll be too late. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy out there. I'm really sorry to say it. There's a lot of people out there that have just been sucked in by so much crazy propaganda from Fox News, so much crazy QAnon talk. It's disgusting to me. I'm legitimately concerned because, you know, this is the moment that I think everybody that has like kind of a straight level head has been fearing, because they said, you know, electing a reality show president who is so abusive with the truth, who lies, flat out lies and doesn't care about it, who says I could do whatever I want, I could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and get away with it, who calls the news fake news and the enemy of the people. Well, now when you've got a real threat to human safety, to our safety at large in this country, nobody knows what to believe.
Uh-uh.
And this is the danger that people have been warning about. And it's just so damn scary because, you know, the next steps, I think, I just don't want to go there, but I just think, you know, we have to really be very vigilant. And I think another thing that is very important for us, you and I, as we go through our life and our discord and our, with our families and with our friends, is to not let people try to put their head in the sand and say, oh, no, that'll never happen here. That'll never happen here. We're not this country. We're not that country. Listen, human beings are human beings. People in South Africa were smart, and they thought that they should have a right to vote, even if the country said they shouldn't have a right to vote. They knew they were human beings and they should have a right to self-govern, but they were put under oppressive rule that kept them from exercising their rights. And they were beaten down. I don't know if people remember, you know, there were people in the streets getting beaten. You know, so listen, human beings are human beings the world over. There's nothing that makes us, our blood is red just like everybody else's. We care about American exceptionalism. We hold it dear to our hearts, but guess what? All of our norms and beliefs and traditions are being, quite frankly, shit all over. And, you know, it's important not to stick your head in the sand and think that just because we are American exceptionalism here, that we're going to be immune from these things. We won't be.
Yeah, no, we won't. And the fact that we are so nonchalant in how we're addressing this is actually hurting us. It's actually making things worse for us. And it's you're going to have to see a whole lot of people get really, really sick, and not those people living in New York or LA or Chicago or places where, you know, you ask people around here, you know, about New York City, and they won't go to New York City. I won't go to New York City. Nothing but criminals there. There's nothing but, you know, it's like New York City's a cesspool, right? Like, it's, you know, you should see, you know, Snake Plissken running around there, you know.
What people that don't know that reference, let them know what that means.
Kurt Russell's character in Escape from New York.
Great movie.
No, it was a great movie. But that's what people out here, you know, that's their perception of New York. That's their perception of L.A., only L.A.'s New York with a Spanish accent, right? You know, even Chicago, which is, you know, Chicago's a fabulous city. It just, that, you know, these people don't want to hear it because those are all bad places. So it's okay if bad things happen there because they're bad places. We live in a good place.
Right.
It's a good thing. You know, it's that perception that people have. They're in trouble, Frank. They're in trouble because Fox News can't bullshit them through having to survive a COVID-19 attack. You know, you catch this thing, Fox News can't bullshit you through it. You know, you're gonna have to
You're absolutely right, Patsy. You are absolutely right. You're nailing it on the head. But speaking of the great place that we live, what did the great place that you grew up in and that I live in most of the time or part of the time, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, what did we do as a community in 1918 when we faced probably the world's worst pandemic in terms of modern day times pandemic that killed, what was it, 5% of the world's population at the time or something like that, or between 1% and 5% of the world's population. It killed a large amount of people. 1918, yes. Spanish flu. What did we do?
We actually can find microfiche or microfilm for people who don't know what that is. Basically, it's the way we used to keep old newspapers and old periodicals and things like that way back before the invention of the internet. They quarantined everybody. They no local action was allowed. They started banning public events. Homes where cases exist to be designated by the health department. They'd actually put placards up on homes where people were known to have the virus. It was a very, very nasty thing. They extended flu bans, so everything was closed except for meat and grocery stores. Don't forget, there used to be butcher shops back in the day. So, basically, the only thing you could do to leave your house was to get necessities. That was it: groceries, medicine. I want to say the only things that were the only services that were open were doctors' offices. I believe the post office is still where I didn't read if it did. But basically everything was shut down. Everything was totally shut down except for the very most important thing, aspects of life, things that were absolute necessities. Again, produce, butchers, grocery stores. At the time, you kind of had grocery stores on just about every corner. Frank, I can remember growing up, in the late 60s, early 70s, and shit, you couldn't go a couple of blocks without running into a corner store, right? You had in the upper North Hill, you had TikTok, you had another one closer to the lower North Hill. I can't remember what the hell the name of that one was, but, on the east side, you had Roats, you had Arlington Market. There was a couple of a couple of Isleys up on Croton Avenue.
The lower North Hill was Handy Andy, and there was also the Country Fair that was down at the bottom of. You're going north on Jefferson Street, there was a little Country Fair down there.
There was a Country Fair. It was a Handy Andy. I remember. What was the one that was Coelho's?
Yeah. Yep.
Remember that one too? But I mean, you didn't have to walk but a block or two without running into, and this was in the 70s. Imagine, back in the 1800s, 1918, I'm sorry, 1910s, that there would have been far more, they'd have been everywhere because at the time, Newcastle was booming, right? It was a huge city. I mean, we had four or five hotels downtown, just downtown alone. The Fountain probably being the most popular. So, they took steps back in 1918 that were still taken today. We're still doing these things today, and it's funny how.
And some we're not doing.
Yeah, but it's funny how. It was how seriously it was taken then and how less serious it's being taken now, I guess is my point.
And it's a great example of it. We're talking 102 years ago, they had enough sense to take it seriously in our little, not little. I mean, it was, like you said, it was a little bit more bustling town at that point, but they took it more seriously at that point where they put placards up. They quarantined, they made sure that things were, taken very seriously in terms of public health. And that, quite frankly, is, if people want to argue about what the purpose of government is, whether it's a small form of government or a large form of government, one of the things that everybody agrees on is public safety and public health. It's to keep us informed. It's to keep us safe. It's to keep us, you know, from harm. And whether you're Republican, Democrat, big form of government, centralized government, localized government, that's the purpose that everybody agrees on. And we have to have that. And we have to have it from a trusted source. And that's what we're kind of lacking at this point.
Yes, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Because you have an entire entertainment network you can't trust. And you have a third of our federal government that you cannot trust. And that's just a recipe for disaster. And that is also unfortunate. But it is the country we're living in right now, Frank. Before we go, well, we'll save it for next week. We'll give everybody a teaser. We'll save it for next week. Is there anything you want to say before we stick a fork in this thing?
Everybody be safe. Do the things that you're being told to do by the CDC, by local health officials. Listen to the scientists. Listen to the doctors. Watch more than one news source. Take care of your family. Make sure you're, you know, practicing social distancing. I will say this. I don't want to be a plug for any one company, but I will say this. There are apps out there. Search around for the apps that allow you to do group talks from long distances. There's one I'll say, and I'm not being a promoter of this. I just used it for my soccer team recently. It's called Zoom. Half hour free. You can do with multiple people doing a visual meeting, talking to one another over Zoom. And I'm sure there's other ones, but just look around for those so you can actually stay in contact with your friends and family, you know, and people that you care about. And I think the other thing is just to stay in contact with people because it keeps you sane. It keeps you, you know, reminded that this is an important, connected world, that we care about people. I've been reaching out to people all around the world, all my friends and people that I've made acquaintances with in Germany, Italy, Colombia, Brazil. And I'm not touting that as that I'm something special. I'm just saying, look, the world is very connected and there are people that care about us here and we should care about them. And we care about our elderly people here. You got family members that are older, that everybody's got a family member that's, you know, advancing in age. So don't take these things lightly. Don't just buy into conspiracy theories. Read what's out there. Pay attention. It's very, very important. You know, I don't have any scientific or medical background to speak on it. I'm just saying defer to the actual experts out there, please.
As I like to say, there's a reason they're experts, right? And please, folks, please don't use Fox Entertainment as a news source, please. They're going to get you killed. Pay attention to what's going on. Listen to the CDC. You might not want to listen to what Trump has to say during those, I don't even know what to call them, that he's calling news briefs, but if you can, pay attention to the part whenever Dr. Fauci's on there. You know, he's going to tell you the truth. So pay attention to all that. We use, whenever we communicate, just to give folks some alternatives, you know, we use Discord. In fact, that's what we use to record this. Some other great apps, obviously, is Skype is also a good one. Apple's FaceTime, if you're on iPhones. Google Duo, if you're on an Android. Unfortunately, you can't use FaceTime or Google Duo if one of you is on the other one. So in other words, like you have an Android, I have an iPhone, we can't use either of those if we're going to talk to each other. So we have to use something like Skype or, you know, Discord. Zoom is a really good one to use. If I'm not mistaken, Facebook Messenger is also pretty good. WhatsApp is very good. So there's lots of ways for people to keep in contact with each other without having to be near. It's not the same thing. I understand that. But you can look at it as a novelty, right? It's something a little bit different. Especially if you have kids, you know, instead of going over to grandma's house, hey, we can Skype her, or we can do whatever, you know, see her up on TV. It's a novelty and kids will love it. So anything you can do like that to kind of break up the monotony or the mundaneness and put a positive spin on it is something that we really encourage people to do. Because, folks, if you think this is going to be over by Easter, like that idiot in the White House keeps telling people, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're smoking something. It's not going to be over anytime soon. With that being said, sorry to end on such a poor note and such a bummer, but well, you know, it is our last episode of Holy Shit, Frank. So, you know, what are you going to do? That being said, everybody, please take care of yourselves. Like Frank and I always say, your time is very valuable. The fact that you're willing to spend some of that time with us means a great deal to us. It really, truly does. So until next week, same bad time, same bad channel, but a brand new name. Until then, folks, take care, goodbye, and God bless.
Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Now what, I say, what's the big idea bashing me on the noggin with a rolling pin? Clunk enough, people, and we'll have a nation of lump heads.
Thanks for listening to Holy Sh** with Frank and Master Patsy. If you like our show, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to support us on Patreon. Join us again next week when we discuss the next thing that made us say, holy shit.